Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're back with The Takeaway. Earlier this month, the House of Representatives took the first step in passing a new version of the Violence Against Women Act. It would help keep guns out of the hands of boyfriends with a history of stalking and harassing, closing the so-called boyfriend loophole in the existing protections. The legislation, which now makes its way to the Senate, comes at a moment when murders committed by spouses and significant others are on the rise. In 2017, more than 6 women a day were killed by a husband, a boyfriend, or an ex. The vast majority of them were shot to death. According to a study of FBI homicide data by Northeastern University, intimate partner homicides increased almost 20% between 2014 and 2017. Despite those figures, the bill has faced major opposition from the NRA, who claimed that the proposal would hamstring gun owners. Democratic Representative Debbie Dingell is a survivor of domestic violence and introduced the legislation. On the floor of the House, Dingell pointed the finger at the organization.
Do not let the NRA bully you. This is not a poison pill.
Dingell reminded fellow representatives that her late husband and predecessor had served on the board of the NRA.
We're not taking away due process. All it does is say that if someone has been convicted as an intimate partner, that they would not have access to a gun.
Currently, law enforcement can take away guns if a woman has a restraining order against a husband, a child, or a cohabitating partner. But that doesn't include if she is dating the person she's accusing.
That's Sarah D. Weyer, congressional reporter for the Los Angeles Times.
The Centers for Disease Control has estimated that a half of all women who are killed with a gun are killed by a romantic partner. That equals about 50 women a month. And so you've got a large percentage of women who are in difficult situations that weren't getting the same protections just because of the legal status in the country.
Despite being historically bipartisan, the Violence Against Women Act has stirred controversy in some of its previous iterations, too.
The last few versions of the Violence Against Women Act had some pushback from on the Republican side that it was going too far. The last major fight was over the inclusion of same-sex couples and immigrants. And that actually led to the Violence Against Women Act lapsing for 3 years before they were finally able to come to an agreement. And as Nancy Pelosi said, you know, they made it so politically uncomfortable that eventually the Republicans joined them in passing the bill.
Now it's on to the Senate. And so far, says Sarah, we haven't heard many details on how they plan to move ahead.
Senator Dianne Feinstein and Senator Joni Ernst have said they're going to work on it together. But I'm hearing that those are still in the very early stages of negotiations. Senator Feinstein said that the House bill is a good foundation. But we're hearing that Senator Ernst is less comfortable with the House version, and she wants to see the portions that the NRA has a problem with stripped out before she's willing to put her name on it. I mean, the holdup really does seem like it's going to be this gun violence provision that was inserted by Representative Debbie Dingell in the House. But the Democrats really seem firm on making sure that that stays in. So what that means in the Senate is going to be pretty interesting to watch.
We'll be watching. Thanks to Sarah D. Weyer, congressional reporter for the Los Angeles Times, for that background. Our next guest, Courtney Weaver, believes she could have been saved by the House's version of the Violence Against Women Act if it were law. Courtney is a blues singer, and she met the man who would become her abuser after one of her gigs in her early 20s.
2 weeks after we'd met, he came out to see me sing, and he fell in love with me and kind of swept me off my feet, and things moved very, very fast.
6 months into a long-distance relationship, Courtney's boyfriend proposed to her at the fanciest restaurant in town. But getting engaged didn't bring any rush of joy.
It didn't feel like love's supposed to feel. It felt like a way to kind of tie me to him and tether me to him so that I couldn't leave.
There had been warning signs. Her boyfriend had lied about getting into trouble with the law, for example. But when she raised her concerns or tried to set boundaries, he used a combination of charm and force to get Courtney to stick around.
You know, at the time, I was just really flattered that someone liked me so much. I remember him verbally attacking me in front of my mom, and my mom sticking up for me. And she was the only one who told me, she was like, he's going to kill you, Courtney. If you stay with him, he's going to kill you. And I was just really upset.
So she tried to leave him. But when he showed up at her door on Christmas Eve and said he had nowhere else to go, Courtney let him in. A couple weeks later, she says she felt like she needed some distance. So Courtney got ready to go out with some friends.
I was putting makeup on in my bathroom mirror. And I had a four-month-old kitten who I still have, Raja. And I heard her start to hiss and snarl. And I turned around and Kenneth had his handgun and then Raja was on his right arm and she was just clawing his arm and ripping him to shreds. And I just remember I just started laughing because it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. And I'm one of those people that is that nervous laughter. And he grabbed Raja by her scruff and threw her against my bedroom wall. Everything was moving in slow motion and I was really scared and I was just trying to de-escalate him and agree. And he lunged for the door. I put myself between him and the door, and I was fumbling with the deadbolt. And then the next thing I knew, I heard shots firing, and all of a sudden, I was looking up at him, looking up at the blaring light in my kitchen, and the kitchen door window was broken and shattered behind me. And then he ran and was running up the street yelling, and it took me a moment for me to realize that I'd been shot. I jumped up and I realized I couldn't pick up my purse because there was a 3-inch hole in my right arm, in my forearm.
He also shot her in the face.
And I screamed and this blood and teeth and gums came out and I started to run up the street and I heard him up there and my first neighbor right next on the other side of my duplex didn't answer his door. And so I then zigzagged down the opposite direction of where I heard him because I was just trying to survive at that point and I was just running on adrenaline.
Courtney managed to find safety with another neighbor. It took an emergency medical crew, an airlift, and a blood transfusion to save her life. And it took many more surgeries to reconstruct her face and salvage her singing voice. Since that day in 2010, Courtney has had a lot of time to reflect and says her mind always returns to what she could have done differently.
What I had heard is that he'd already engaged and threatened many other people. If he had been prohibited from owning firearms, he would have had a much harder time trying to kill me. And I think that putting the onus of violence on the victim is very naive because there's only so much you can do to stop someone from killing you.
Courtney says she thinks that the Violence Against Women Act should be expanded to close the so-called boyfriend loophole and to protect others from the violence that she experienced.
If there were controls in place that had closed the loophole on him, because he had never been married at the age of 34, that if he had been prevented by a previous partner, that he wouldn't have been able to inflict as much harm as he did, that his behavior would have been hastened. He would have come to the point where maybe he would have realized that he had a violent proclivities that he couldn't control. And violent people shouldn't be allowed to own guns. I don't see why that's being contested.
Courtney's ex served 8 years in jail for attempted murder and assaulting a police officer. He was released in September, and Courtney has since filed a protection order against him. But because they were never married and didn't live together, he falls through the boyfriend loophole in federal law.
The man who shot me will be able to get his guns back in 3 years.
That's Courtney Weaver, a blues singer and domestic violence survivor. And the song you're hearing here, it's one she wrote called Stop the Violence.
All this hate has my soul so blue. Doubt and fear abused. How can this message be diffused? Music with love infused.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.